All right, well, here I go. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is, in fact, the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, chapter 16. And we know the Torah portion has somewhere in the first phrase or so the word that is unique that describes a portion and therefore kind of becomes the name of it. Now it's this one. And it says Korah. So Korah is the name of an individual, right? Now Korah, it says, the son of Itzar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Pelet, son of Reuben. They took men. What are they going to do? Well, this is called, of course, Korah's Rebellion. And what it's going to turn out to be one of the most famous acts of rebellion in Scripture, follows kind of on the heels of several relatively tough times that we've seen in the wilderness on the way to the land. And of course, as a result of the first recorded vote, there are, and you could almost say that is kind of like a rebellion too, because they certainly rebelled against Yah. And as a result, ultimately, everyone's carcass is going to fall in the wilderness. But certainly those that were the leaders of the rebellion, the ones that took the vote and thought they won, didn't, 10-2, their carcasses fell right away. They died immediately. And then the others, of course, none of them made it into the land. But here, it's Korah and these other folks, says they rose up, literally, lifnei, in the face of Moses, which is kind of a telling phrase right there. With certain of the B'nai Israel, some 250 men. They, it says, were princes of the congregation, and that word there is the Adah. Now, we're going to see this word show up a number of times. I think that's kind of interesting how often. I didn't count them, but at least probably around seven times the word Adah appears in here, the congregation or the assembly. They were elect men of the assembly, men of renown, men of name is the way it's put. But what's kind of fascinating about it is this is only the second time in Scripture that this exact phrase appears, men of name or men of renown. And, of course, it's Anashi Shem. Recognize where the first one was? Yeah, it's in reference to the Nephilim, who the mighty men, men of old, men of renown. I guess you'd say there is a connection, and it's not a good one. They assembled themselves together against Moshe and against Aaron, and they said to them, y'all take too much upon yourselves, seeing as how the whole congregation is holy. And that word is kol, edah. There it is again, the whole assembly. So we're going to have this word, assembly or congregation, appear a number of times. This is kol, edah, and assembly, of course, is kahal. Every one of them. Yeah, we're all holy. Ain't that wonderful? And Yahuwah is among them. So, therefore, why do you, therefore, lift up yourselves above the assembly, the kahal of Yahuwah? Now, Moshe heard it. Guess what he did? He fell on his face. He spoke to Korah and all of his assembly, and he said, in the morning, Yahuwah's just going to show you, in fact, who are his and who is set apart, and he will cause him, those who are, to come near unto him, that's the capital H, even him who he may choose will he cause to come near him. So you guys, you think we're taking too much upon ourselves? Oh, we'll find out. This do. So Moshe is going to issue a command. Take yourself some censers. Korah and all of his company, put fire in them, put incense upon them before Yahuwah tomorrow, and it shall be that the man to whom Yahuwah chooses, well, he will be set apart. You, he says, you all, you take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. So Moshe then said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing unto you? Now this is an interesting observation. It sounds like what he's saying is, look, you think you want to be the Kohanim, the priests, and you don't like the fact that you have a very important job, but it's not quite, perhaps in your eyes, as prestigious as the Kohanim. But is it a small thing unto you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from what? The Adat of Israel, the congregation, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, unto Yahuwah, and to stand before the congregation, that same word again, Ha'edah, to minister unto them? Huh. And that he has brought you near, and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you, will you really decide that you want to seek the priesthood too? Therefore, you, all your company that are gathered together against Yahuwah. And asked him to Aaron, what is he that you murmur against him as well? Moshe then sent to call Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab. And they said, we're not going to come up. They just plain defied him. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Now, here's another one. We're not going to come up, but is it a small thing? Now they are going to, it looks to me like, mock the very words of Yah himself about bringing them into a land of milk and honey. Is it a small thing? You brought us out of a land that was already flowing with milk and honey? Yeah, and our blood, sweat, and tears too, because we were wonderful slaves. We just loved it. What a bunch of morons, right? To kill us here in the wilderness. Have we heard this before? But now you need to make yourself a prince over us as well. Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. Wait a second. You know the reason why, don't you? You just figured it out last week. That's why your carcasses, all of your carcasses, are going to fall here in the wilderness. Turns out some of their carcasses are going to fall sooner than others. Nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We ain't going to come up. Now, Moshe, as you might suspect, he was really PO'd. He was wroth. Wroth mayo'd. And he said unto Yahuwah, do not respect their offering. I haven't taken so much as one ass from them, nor have I hurt one of them. So, as if Yah didn't really probably already know that. Moses then said to Korah, be you and all of your congregation before Yahuwah tomorrow. Before Aaron too, tomorrow. And take every man his fire pan, put incense on him, bring them before Yahuwah, every man his fire pan, 250 of them, right? That's how many of you all there are. 250 fire pans, you also and Aaron, everybody with his fire pan. So they took every man his fire pan, they put fire in him, they laid incense, they stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moshe and Aaron. Now Korah assembled, coal of the Kahal against them, and Kol Ha'edah, so all the congregation, all the assembly against them. And by the word here for assembly, or to assemble, is the same root, you notice, in the Hebrew. So they're all getting together there at the door of the tent of meeting, and the glory, the kabod of Yahuwah appeared to Kol Ha'edah. There it is, all of the congregation again. Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, and he said, here come the words in red, separate yourselves, stand back a bit from this, among this congregation. Now we see the same word, but it's not the whole congregation, it's this subset here, these guys. Separate yourselves from them, that I might just consume them in a moment. They all fell upon their faces, and they said, O Elohim, Elohim of all the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be wroth with all of Ha'edah, all of the congregation? So are we talking about the subset, or are we talking about the whole group? Rashi's comment has to do with the one man sinning. One man sin. Well, the one man here seems to be Korah. Obviously, there were folks with him. And the point, it seems to me, is separate yourselves, right? Come out of her, my people. You don't want to be standing too close to whatever's fixing to happen here. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and here's what he said. Speak to all Ha'edah, the congregation, and say to them, now we're going to see the separation. Get yourselves up. Get set apart about the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And it's interesting, the dwelling there is the word Mishkan in Hebrew. So that's the same word that's used for the dwelling place of Yah. You want to separate yourself from their dwelling. And Moshe rose up, and he went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke unto the congregation, Al Ha'edah, and he said, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Don't touch any of their stuff, lest you be swept away in all of their sins. So, touch not the unclean thing. Here's a real graphic example going to happen. Separate yourselves. So, they got themselves up from around the dwelling of Korah, and Dathan, and Abiram on every side. Dathan and Abiram came out, and they stood there at the door of their tents, nice, obedient little guys, with their wives and their sons and their little ones, the whole fam-damily, as we would say. If you think that's irreverent, folks, just wait. You already know what's going to happen if you've read the story. The whole family standing at the door of their tent. Moshe said, "Hereby, here's how you will know that it is Yahuwah that sent me to do all these works, and that I have not done them out of my own lev, my own heart." Levi. Now, if these men die the common death of all men, they live to old age, right, all that kind of stuff, and they are visited after the visitation of all men, well, then you know Yahuwah has not sent me. But on the other hand, if something new happens here, if Yahuwah makes a new thing, and the ground literally opens up her mouth and swallows them up. Now, it's interesting because it's kind of a new thing. The same phrase appears in Genesis, and it is the ground, Ha-Adama, that has opened up and received, remember, the ground opened up and received the blood of Abel. So this is a new thing to the extent that it's going to do something a little bit more dramatic here. And not only going to swallow them up with everything that appertains unto them. So here's Moshe making, if you will, not just a prediction, but a prophecy. It is the kind of prophecy that calls into existence that which he is calling forth. If he does this new thing, ground opens up, swallows them up, and everything that appertains to them, and they go down alive, right smack into the pit, well, then you will know that these things, that these men have despised Yahuwah. They have literally provoked Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. It came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these Deborim, these words, the ground did in fact cleave asunder, right smack underneath them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And their households, you can see why they wanted to have some separation here. And so their households, all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. So they and everything that had anything to do with them went down alive into the pit. Boy, that's some way to go, right? The earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among Ha-Kahal, the assembly. And all of Israel that were around them fled at the cry of them. I imagine they probably didn't like it, and they probably screamed as they were going down, because they said, "Hey, lest the earth swallow us up too." Then fire came forth from Yahuwah and devoured that 250-man group that had been offering the incense. Okay, that's one of those Biden slips there. But in this case, it's there's probably a connection. But anyway, they were devoured. The next chapter begins with the words again, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, "Now, speak unto Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest. Tell him to get them fire pans. Take those fire pans out of the burning, and scatter you yourselves through the fire yonder." In other words, go into the smoking ruins here and pick up the fire pans, because they have now been set apart. They have become kadosh. Even the fire pans of these men that sinned at the cost of their very lives, and let them be beaten into plates for a covering of the altar. So they're going to take the brass that's from these fire pans and now beat them into a covering for the altar. Because they have become kadosh, they're set apart, because they were offered before Yahuwah, that they may be a sign, a memorial, an oath, unto the B'nai Israel. So Eleazar the priest, he took those brazen firebrands, which they that were burnt, they became the burnt offering, if you think about it, and they beat them out for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the B'nai Israel, to the end that no common man, that is, not of the seed of Aaron, would draw near to burn incense before Yahuwah, so that they don't end up like Korah did. And Rashi says so that they would not be as Korah. And I guess the implication here is that they would not be in rebellion as Korah was, and along with his company, as Yahuwah spoke to him by the hand of Moshe. Now, on the morning, though, guess what was going to happen in the morning? Have we ever seen anything like this before? Morning, kol of Edat, all of the congregation of the B'nai Israel, they did what? Can you believe they whined? They murmured. Pick your phrase, but we've seen this before multiple times, and here it is one more time. And they murmured against Aaron too, and they said, "Y'all have killed the people of Yahuwah." Really? I mean, where were you? Weren't you paying attention? Came to pass when the congregation had assembled, there's the same words again, congregation assembly that assembled against Moshe and against Aaron, they looked toward the tent of meeting. Behold, the cloud is covering it, and the kabod of Yahuwah appeared. So pay attention. Moshe and Aaron came up to the front of the tent of meeting, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, "You know what? Time to separate yourselves from all the rest of these folks. Get yourself up from among this congregation, Ha'edah. It's sounding, if you think about it, we've seen it, they've seen it, they didn't get the message, they're going to, almost certainly looks like they're going to see the very same thing again, so that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. So Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces. Moses said, "Send unto Aaron, get your fire pan, put fire in it from the altar, and lay some incense on, and run, man, run! Carry it quickly throughout the congregation. Make atonement for them, because the wrath has gone out from Yahuwah. The plague has already begun." Now, this is fascinating, and I every time I read this, I can't help but picture. You ever been to a big football stadium or baseball stadium, seen the wave, right, where the wave, the people stand up, and the wave just kind of goes around? And I can almost picture that must have been what it looked like. We've got hundreds of thousands of people here, the assembly, right, probably 2.5-3 million in total, but who knows how many tens of thousands. And that would be multiple football stadiums worth. And they're dropping like flies. They're doing the wave, only they're not getting back up again. So Aaron took, as Moses spoke, and he ran right smack into the midst of the assembly, Ha'edah. And behold, the plague had already begun, and it was rippling out among the people. And he put on the incense, and he made atonement for the people, and he stood, he went right smack into the wave, he stood between the dead and the living, and it says the plague was stayed. Now, the word I like in this English rendering would be something along the lines of cauterized. He literally stayed the plague. Now, the people that died by that plague, in the time that it took him to get that fire pan and get out there, 14,700. Besides those that had already died in the manner of Korah, about the matter of Korah. Now, then Aaron, it says, returned unto Moshe to the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. And now Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said, "Speak unto the B'nai Israel, tell them to take some rods, one for each of their father's houses." It's rods, staves. "All of the princes, according to their father's houses, get 12 of them, 12 rods. We've got 12 tribes, 12 rods. You shall write upon every man's, his name upon his rod." So you're going to get the leaders of the various tribes, put their names on their staff or their rod. And then on Aaron's rod, you write the name for the rod of Levi, because he, of course, is representing the house of Levi. There will be one rod for the head of each of their father's houses. And you lay them up there in the tent of meeting, before the testimony where I meet with you. So put them right there at central spot in the Kadesh Kodeshim. "And it shall come to pass that the man whom I choose, his rod shall bud. And I will make to cease from among you all, from me, before my face, the murmurings of the B'nai Israel, which they murmur against you." It kind of sounds like he's had it. Now, the interesting thing about this, after all the dying we've seen going on here, this is not... Now, if I was one of the 12 princes, I would be real careful about this. I'm saying, maybe you don't need to put my name on mine. I'm not that big of a... But in any case, good news for them, it's not going to be quite as dramatic of a demonstration, at least to the extent that nobody is dying. But it's a very dramatic demonstration otherwise. Moshe then spoke to the B'nai Israel, and all the priests, they gave them their rods. One for each prince, according to their father's houses, 12 of them. Rod of Aaron was among those rods. Moshe laid up the rods before Yahuwah in the tent of the testimony. It came to pass in the morning, Moshe went into the tent, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had budded. Not only had it budded, it put forth buds and blossomed, and it made ripe olives. Ripe almonds. So it really went to town. So there's literally ripe almonds on his staff. So Moshe brought out the rods from before Yahuwah to the B'nai Israel, and they looked. Every man took his own rod. Yahuwah said to Moshe, "Put the rod of Aaron, that one, back before the testimony to be kept there for a token against the rebellious children." Rebellious children. So we've seen this rebellion, and guess what the moral of the story here is? This rebellion extends to more than just Korah and the 250, and obviously another 14,700 died, and but for the quick intervention of Moshe and Aaron, it might have been a lot more than that. "Thus did Moshe. As Yahuwah commanded him, so did he. Now the B'nai Israel, they spoke unto Moshe and said, 'Behold, we perish, we're undone, we're all undone.'" Now gee, you just now figured that out. Everyone that comes near unto the tabernacle of Yahuwah is to die. Shall we wholly perish? Maybe it's time to start listening. The last chapter of the portion begins this way, and Yahuwah said unto Aaron, you and your sons, your father's house with you, shall bear the Torahlessness, the iniquity of the sanctuary. So I guess in the context of what we've just seen, that sounds like a fairly heavy burden, doesn't it? You and your sons shall with you bear the iniquity, the Torahlessness of your priesthood, your Kohanimship. Your brethren too, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, may bring unto... bring thou near unto you, so bring them all together, that they may be joined unto you and minister unto you, you and your sons with you, before the tent of the testimony. And they shall keep the charge, and the charge of all of the ohel, the tent, only they shall not come nigh unto the holy furniture and unto the altar, so that they die not, not they nor you. And they shall be joined unto you, and keep the charge of the tent of meeting, wherever or whatsoever the service of the tent may be. But the common man shall not draw nigh unto you. You are to keep the charge of the set apart things, the things that are kadosh, the charge of the altar, so that no wrath comes more upon the B'nai Israel. And look, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the B'nai Israel. We've seen this. He's talked about it. This is in lieu of the firstborn, right? For you they are given as a gift unto Yahuwah to do the service of the tent of meeting. You and your sons with you shall keep the Kohanimship, the priesthood, in everything that pertains to the altar and to that within the veil, and you shall serve. I give you the priesthood as a service of gift. That's an interesting turn of phrase. As a service of gift, and the common man that draws nigh shall be put to death. So this is for you. It's unique. Yahuwah spoke to Aaron, and he said, behold, and I have given you the charge of my heave offerings, even of all the hallowed things of the B'nai Israel unto you have I given them for a consecrated portion for your sons too, as a due forever. So what he's going to describe here, we're going to get a recap. We've already talked about this. Those things that are to be given unto Yahuwah, and as a result, they belong to the Kohanim. This shall be yours of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every meal offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, cut hot, every guilt offering of theirs, which they render unto me, shall be most set apart for you and for your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat thereof. Every male can eat from it, because it is set apart for you. And this is yours. The heave offerings of their gifts, all the wave offerings of the B'nai Israel, I've given them unto you and your sons and your daughters with you as a due forever. So this is essentially what he's saying. And this is a very interesting recap of all of those things that belong to the Kohanim and to some part of them. There are elements that go to the other Levites. But by and large, this is for the Kohanim. This is a due forever. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat of it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, all the corn, the first part of them that they give unto Yahuwah, to you have I given them. The ripe first fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Yahuwah, shall be yours. Everyone that's clean in your house may eat of it. Everything devoted. Here's that word again. It's an interesting word, right? We've seen it before. Cherem. Devoted. What does devoted mean? Well, it means devoted to him. Now, we've also seen that there are other things that are devoted to pagan gods, and they are really cursed, just as these things are set apart. They're set apart, but for the opposite reason. Furthermore, he says, everything that opens the womb of all flesh that they offer unto Yahuwah, both of man and of beast, shall be yours. How be it? In other words, the firstborn are yours. But when it comes to the firstborn of man, surely you will redeem them. And the firstborn of unclean beasts you shall redeem. So unclean beasts. Well, let's see. That would be horses and dogs and those kind of things. The things that are offered up are the clean animals, the ones that are edible. Their redemption money, from a month old you shall redeem them, shall be, according to your valuation, 5 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. That's 20 gerahs. But the firstling of an ox, or the firstling of a sheep, or of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are set apart. In that case, you shall dash their blood against the altar, and make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. The flesh of them shall be yours, as the wave breast and as the right thigh, that is yours. And all the heave offerings of the holy things, which the B'nai Israel offer unto Yahuwah, have I given you, and your sons and your daughters with you, as a due forever. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before Yahuwah unto you and your seed forever. And Yahuwah said unto Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the B'nai Israel. So that is a repetition. We know that, but it's being emphasized here again for Aaron and those under his charge. As to the children of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. So there are certain special things that are for the Kohanim, specifically for Aaron and his sons and those that fall after them. And then a larger group here, the children of Levi, the other groups, the ones that carry the furniture and carry all the elements associated with the Mishkan and so forth. I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they serve, the service of the Tent of Meeting. So they too have some set-apart stuff. Basically, their food is being provided for. Henceforth, the B'nai Israel shall not come nigh the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites alone, they will do the service of the tent of meeting. And that they shall bear their iniquity, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And among the B'nai Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So this too is what we've seen. They do not have a place in the land, save some specific exceptions, the cities of refuge and places like that. But they are, in fact, they are Yah's, and their inheritance are these things that he's describing here. For the tithe of the B'nai Israel, which they set apart as a gift unto Yahuwah, I have given to the Levites. So the things that are given to Yah, he in turn gives to them for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, moreover, you speak to the Levites, so that's the large group, all of them, and say to them, when you take of the B'nai Israel a tithe, which I've given you, from them for your inheritance, then you shall set apart of it a gift for Yahuwah, even a tithe out of a tithe, all right? So there is a tithe which is given to the Levites. They, in turn, give this tithe, a tenth, unto Yah, and a gift which you set apart shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress. So he's consistent. This is almost what you might call a Mandelbrot type fractal. So you have a tithe and a tithe of the tithe, because he is consistent in his commandments, even to the Levites. Now you shall set apart a gift unto Yahuwah of all your tithes which you receive of the B'nai Israel, and therefore you shall give the gift which is set apart unto Yahuwah, to Aaron, the priest. So the Levites get their part, and then Aaron gets an additional tithe on the tithe. Of all that's given, you shall set apart all of that which is due unto Yahuwah, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part out of it. Therefore you shall say unto them, when you set apart the best thereof from it, it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. So it's almost like they too are getting their due, and it's their increase, so they tithe on that. And you may eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward in return for your service in the tent of meeting. And here comes the last paragraph and the last verse in chapter 18, and of course then the Parsha. And you shall bear sin no more by reason of it, seeing that you have set apart from it the best thereof. So the tithe of the tithe. And you shall not profane the set-apart things of the B'nai Israel. Here's the warning, that you die not. All right, and with that, the Torah portion ends. And let's see, I guess I'll ask the question. Do we have any comments or questions? And it's kind of fascinating. I'll make a note here, and I'll think about this, and we'll talk about some more of the connections tomorrow. It always kind of fascinates me, because this Torah portion actually comes up, as it turns out, yesterday was the day where the United Colonies issued the Declaration of Independence. They actually signed it, or began to sign it on that day, the 4th of July. But the actual... Well, the miracle, if you will, and it certainly looks to me as I watch it, as if it was I don't say as if, because it was. It looked like a miracle that would not have happened without the hand of Yah. Ben Franklin remarked on it later, right? Can a nation rise? If a sparrow can't fall without him noticing, can a great nation rise? And that was when he asked that there be prayer while they were engaged in the deliberations for the Constitutional Convention. So they understood a lot of things. What's fascinating to me about this is it was called a rebellion, right? A revolution. It was called treason by the crown. And of course, nowadays people will tell you, oh, it's wrong. Romans 13, which is completely wrong and taken out of context, and I will contend is a really crappy interpretation of Scripture, because if you look at the rest of Scripture, if Paul really wrote that and meant it, well, then he's a liar and the truth is not in him, because we see over and over again, starting with the midwives in Exodus, that Yah, in fact, blesses a rebellion against a king who, as Jefferson put it, is by every measure a tyrant and is violating his covenant before Yah. So there is a time when, as the founder said, you know, it is their right to throw off such government. Well, the question is, how about Korah? Because that's kind of what's fascinating. That's, I think, what we'll spend a little bit of time doing a deeper dive into. The difference is, looks like Moshe was clearly Yah's anointed. He made that point, and he demonstrated it by virtue of calling the things into existence which had not happened in that way before. And you have to ask, do we understand that there's a difference between rebelling against Yah's anointed and rebelling against those that have already rebelled against Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh? And I think that's the key.